So I did think about green plant, green using like an adjective and plant as a noun or written with a dot in between. I don't have too much, but in using it as a grammar thing, green adjective plant noun, it's a separation to me.
You're saying green?
And
Did you say
pardon?
green? What was
Yes, I changed it to green. We use it as blue. Blue shirt, yes, yeah, last week.
Okay, now I'm following you. I was
Yeah, I
like,
haven't the faintest idea what she's talking
she's
about.
talking about the blue shirt last week and how we described it as blue shirt or blue symbol shirt.
Yeah. So when I write it with a dot in between, I had the feeling of a communion between blue and shirt.
Okay.
And a communion is to me like a relationship that enriches shirt and blue. Or in other words, it more feels like a two-ness, blue dot shirt.
It's supposed to
And
feel
blue
more like
shirt
a
without the
oneness.
dot,
Well, when you're
I
in,
had no space.
when you
Pardon?
have the dot in between, it's supposed to feel more like a oneness, like a
A
marriage.
togetherness.
Yes. Yes, that's what I call communion or relationship, I think. Yeah.
Well, you guys are using a term here, what it feels like, and that was my big takeaway from last week, that it's interesting the degree to which there is no agreement on what a word feels like. Because for me, previous and past were very different feelings, but Misty had a completely different take on it, and I think so did Simone. So I don't know how you used to, I mean, it's interesting what you're saying. I just walked away thinking, I don't know that there is a generally accepted feel for words that I can rely on. Although Roger and I had a very interesting conversation the Sunday prior to last Monday on that.
Okay. Can you share a little?
Well, he did. The whole Monday night last week was about previous and prior and past lives. For me, past was a something separated, and previous was something that, oh, I can sense myself right now with a previous. I can just look over there, and I can really feel the difference. But there was no unanimous consent or feeling in the group last week about that. Pat and I seemed to have a similar take, but it wasn't universal.
Yeah, I agree with you, Andrew, that there was a world of difference between past life and previous life, and it would never have occurred to me until Roger pointed it out. And yeah, past life is—it's almost like standing in front of a library and saying, "Yeah, there's a whole bunch of history books in there," but I don't have any relationship to them. But previous life, I'm hauling that around with me right now.
Exactly. But you know, what was interesting is like as maybe enlivening as that was for you and I found that I can't really use that and assume that people are on track with where I am.
No, it actually I've done a lot of stuff this past week that was around whether or not people that I'm talking to understand the terms that I might be using. And I realized that unless I take the time to define the terms that I'm using, never mind what they may want and think, maybe I'll never understand somebody else's language, but at least I can take the effort to describe what it is that I mean. And that past life and previous life is a good example of how
Why did I get this back?
Unless I take the time to talk about it.
When
I
raise it with somebody else, they just...
This one's going.
I'm weird. But if I take time to describe what I see as the difference, then I think they have a better chance of understanding what I'm talking about.
Well, no, Excuse me.
Is that the same? Do you like blue dot shirt? I mean,
awesome.
Past and previous is two different words we try to bring into a... How do I say that?
A feeling.
We didn't communion those two, like with a dot or something.
To me, those ended up being a different discussion. And I was never really satisfied that I understood what the issue, why blue dot shirt or blue shirt with no space was any different or any better in terms of understanding when in the basic structure of language, how much error do we build in? I don't understand this. If there is a class of things we call shirts, and that's generally speaking, on the upper body, and we put it around our arms, go through it, it buttons up, or zippers up, or whatever the hell, that's a shirt. And we distinguish one shirt from another by plaid shirt, colored shirt, or whatever. And I don't know what we lose, if we lose anything at all,
by having
a modifier in front of shirt. If anybody can explain that to me, I'd appreciate it.
Well, let me give it a try a little bit here.
One of my hearing aids went out.
So I'm working
so
on
I missed most of what you said, Patrick.
Oh, geez. I understand that. My hearing aids go out at the worst possible times.
So, blue space shirt. That's just a general way of talking about something and then describing it, okay? So it's a way of describing. Blue dot shirt is that they are communioned, that they are in relationship and can be taken apart but won't most likely be taken apart. Blue shirt, one word, means it's absolutely one thing and cannot be separated.
And I think that becomes more important when you start talking about things like self.
Right. We're just using it as a simple example to be able to get it across.
Okay, well, I get that, and especially with Andrew's notion or suggesting that it's important that it, when it gets describing or talking about self, I can see that. Actually, I sent a note to Andrew denoting a self that was far more encompassing than simple Patrick or even Masters or Masters Patrick. And as a quick aside, Misty, at some point, I'd sure like you to show me how I can do a dot. I haven't been able to figure that out.
Go on the keyboard?
In any event,
you gotta go to symbols.
I've realized I could connect together a half a dozen selves, and it's one self. Or a group of selves working together as in communion, not one, but in communion, that could never be described if there was spaces between the words or slashes between the words or anything. They have to be run together in terms of the self. But I saw in trying to describe something to Andrew how important it was to link them all together in a communion, or it was meaningless without that.
Okay.
Did you see that, Andrew?
I think just as you're talking about it, I was thinking it's almost more, well, it's just how I was thinking about it. It's almost more important that you use those terms or names in that way, and what it reminds or re-enlivens the awareness in you, regardless of whether I understand it or not. It makes you aware of this multitude that you have access to.
Yeah, I like that term. Thanks, Andrew. Mm. Yeah.
That's what I called before two-ness. I didn't call it multitude, yes.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it, Simone, to use that term?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah.
In terms of self, I don't want to separate it at all. Mm-hmm. Not even with a dot. I think in terms of self, to me, it has to be together, as Roger introduced it. Yeah.
How do you mean?
Not personal dot self, personal self, in one word.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Can you hear? Thank you.
Inseparable. No.
I'm here.
How would you write the communion between your personal self and eternal self?
That's what I'm hearing.
All right, eternal self.
Your problem is that you're discussing this, you need to see it.
Why is that a problem?
Not just talk about it. Get a feel for it when you see it. Tell me how
I absolutely agree with you.
Tell me how you feel when you see it. With the dot or without a dot or one word.
So with the dot, I still see a little gap.
Yeah, but do you feel that it's one or that can be separated?
Yes, I think I do.
Which one? He asked a few things.
Yes, that the thing can be one or can be separated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I have a letter here from Angela that Miss M wants to read.
I want to read?
You didn't know it, did you?
I didn't know that at all. Is Angela on here?
No.
You want to do it without her?
I guess.
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
She's here.
I am here in Thailand, yes.
Why don't you read it then?
Hello. Because I don't have it in front of me. I'd have to go get it in Facebook, believe it or not.
Okay.
Why don't you start reading it, and then we can talk about it.
I don't think you can talk. There's anything to talk about.
Okay.
I'm not even think there's any value in reading it.
Well, then don't read it.
Well, I'm not going to read it. Miss M's going to read it.
Okay. And I'm reading it why?
Because you're putting value into it.
That's me. I put value into things. Okay, let me take a drink.
Oh, nice.
Got to clear my throat. I'm chewing. Okay. It starts, let's see, it's physicists claim that consciousness lives in quantum state after death. That's its title. And it starts with a question. Does quantum mechanics predict the existence of a spiritual, quote-unquote, soul? Okay, answer. Testimonials from prominent physicists, researchers from institutions such as Cambridge University, Princeton University, and the Max Planck Institute for Physics in Munich claim that quantum mechanics predict some version of, quote-unquote, life after death. They assert that a person may possess a body-soul duality that is an extension of the wave-particle duality of subatomic particles. Wave-particle duality, a fundamental concept of quantum mechanics, proposes that elementary particles, such as photons and electrons, possess the properties of both particles and waves. These physicists claim that they can possibly extend this theory to the soul-body dichotomy. If there is a quantum code for all things, living and dead, then there is an existence after death, speaking in purely physical terms. Dr. Hans-Peter Dürer, former head of the Max Planck Institute for Physics in Munich, posits that just as a particle, quote unquote, writes all of its information on its wave function, the brain is the tangible, quote unquote, floppy disk on which we save our data. And this data is then, quote unquote, uploaded into the spiritual quantum field. Continuing with this analogy, when we die, the body or the physical disk is gone, but our consciousness or the data on the computer lives on. What we consider the here and now, this world, it is actually just the material level that is comprehensible. And here comes the rain, guys, so if you can't hear me, you let me know. I'll get closer. The beyond is an infinite reality that is much bigger, which this world is rooted in, and in this way, our lives in this plane of existence are encompassed, surrounded by the afterworld already. The body dies, but the spiritual quantum field continues. In this way, I am immortal, says Dürer. Dr. Christian Helwig of the Max Planck Institute for Biophysical Chemistry in Göttingen found evidence that information in our central nervous system is phase encoded, a type of coding that allows multiple pieces of data to occupy the same time. He said, our thoughts, our will, our consciousness, and our feelings show properties that could be referred to as spiritual properties. No direct interaction with the known fundamental forces of natural science, such as gravitation, electromagnetic forces, etc., can be detected in the spiritual. On the other hand, however, these spiritual properties correspond exactly to the characteristics that distinguish the extremely puzzling and wondrous phenomenon in the quantum world. Physicist Professor Robert John of Princeton University concluded that if consciousness can exchange information in both directions with the physical environment, then it can be attributed with the same, quote, molecular binding potential, unquote, as physical objects, meaning that it must also follow the tenets of quantum mechanics. Quantum physicist David Bohm, a student and friend of Albert Einstein, was of a similar opinion. He stated, the results of modern natural sciences only make sense if we assume an inner, uniform, transcendent reality that is based on all external data and facts. The very depth of human consciousness is one of them. Although there is no definitive concrete evidence for this theory, one could arguably afford some weight to these claims. If some of the most brilliant minds in quantum mechanics believe that it is consistent with the general patterns and trends of modern science, if proven, this theory could have monumental implications. If humans do, quote, download, unquote, their consciousness into a thus far unobservable field, then a person's consciousness could, in Dürer's words, truly be immortal. End of article. Anybody have anything to say on that?
Does any of that have any interest to anybody? Besides that,
Roger, I
have a question.
Can I have a question?
Sure.
Go ahead, Tom.
Just one person at a time, please.
So go ahead,
Could
Andrew.
Consciousness be? Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, me? Just a question. So when it talks about the relationship to the quantum, does that mean that something dies, it gets really small?
No.
Because to me, quantum means tiny.
No.
Quantum well, what does it mean? Particle. I need that term defined.
I like to just think of what they're talking about, the particle wave. That question, how can something be a particle wave? And it is a particle. Everything is made up of particle wave at the same time.
Does that interest anybody? Everybody, please.
My question.
What?
She has a question.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Could what they're calling consciousness be what you call memory?
I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about. And I could care less. I just have wondered if that really bites into somebody else out there. Is anybody really interested?
Well, I don't understand. Why would you care less, Raj? I mean, is this a...
Because wave and particles is just too much or too involved for me to be concerned about.
If it's the basic nature... I'm surprised too, Roger, since you used to talk about it. You introduced me to the importance of it. And now you don't want to listen, but you don't want to talk about it. I mean, it's to me.
I didn't say I didn't want to talk about it. I said I'm not interested in it. I talk about a lot of things that I'm not interested in.
Isn't it an opening to your work?
No.
To me, I was excited because they're beginning to think about continuing as physical. They're talking about physical continuing. Aren't they?
Not that I hear.
I heard it that way.
If you just want to
Thank
talk
you.
About
I
physical
do.
Continuing, talk about physical continuing.
But that's what they're talking about.
They're talking about waves and particles. And they make no association. That's all right if you're
okay,
a physicist.
What did you hear them? Did you hear what they said about continuing and downloading information?
Which doesn't mean a damn thing.
Unobserved field.
If that means anything to anyone, please explain it to me. I'm stupid.
Okay. If quantum field wave, quantum wave field is memory, is the stuff of the universe that memory is recorded in, then to me it's similar to what you're saying. Even though their words are incorrect,
their words are incorrect. For what they're saying, their words are probably correct. But for what I'm interested in, I don't really care.
Okay, that's fair that you're not interested in it. But I'm very, I think science is beginning to open up a little bit. To your work eventually.
I don't think scientists is opening up any bit to my work or what I
but
say.
What do you hear is the difference?
What?
I mean, what do you hear is the difference?
What do you mean? What do I hear is the difference?
I mean, you're sitting back and you're making these statements, but I don't have any way to understand what you're talking about. You don't think they have any relation to what you're saying. I mean, okay.
I merely said I don't have any interest in what does the matter. Andrew, what do you want? Are you interested in what that paper said? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know how it, I'm curious. I don't know that it's relevant yet, but I mean, I thought they were trying to create some kind of a
why don't you discuss it with Ed? And she'll bring you up on the relevance of it, hopefully. And the rest of us will just...
Is Jim here at all?
The rest of us will just quietly listen in and see if it makes sense to us.
So let's try quantum communication, okay? Where we do declarative questioning. Where we talk about it by asking questions of each other. For instance, go ahead. The particle wave is a, I'm not sure if it's a dot thing where they're in communion. That's how I would write it. Particle dot quantum wave. You can't most likely separate them. They are intimate, but they're not the same thing. They're in communion. See, this is what I spend a lot of time thinking about. So I'm wondering, since that's true, and they're beginning to propose that the quantum wave can download the information data.
What does the quantum wave have to do with my life?
You are quantum wave particle.
What is a quantum wave particle?
It is the communion, to me, of the personal self and something like the eternal self. And let's for now, let's assume that the quantum wave is your eternal self of you. Or the eternal being of you. Well, no, it's the eternal self of you, because we haven't defined what the pattern is yet. Every quantum wave can be broken up into a pattern, and the pattern repeats itself. And that definition is the same definition of your eternal self. Your eternal self is that recurring pattern that you are always doing of the motion of you, your motion in life. And that's my words.
Well, would you ask?
Would you ask a question of
the people? Are they interested in being a quantum wave or eternal self?
What if they're related? What if they're the same thing?
Yeah, but the words prevent. No.
What? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
We got a lot of rain noise around here. I can't hear either.
I hear Simone breathing too loudly. Simone, could you move away from the microphone a little bit? There. Thank you. Now, what did you ask, Roger? I couldn't hear your question.
I said, do you want to?
I didn't breathe so much. That wasn't me.
Okay, are you more interested in being a quantum wave or an eternal being?
If the pattern of the quantum wave is your eternal pattern? Is your eternal
I don't believe
self,
you, I don't believe you can get people on this telephone to make that association. Quantum wave is meaningless.
It's not meaningless.
You're
a radiant, resplendent being. That's what a quantum wave is.
A quantum wave is meaningless relative to my life.
May I describe what a quantum wave quality is?
Sure,
because if I describe the quality, a quantum wave is, first of all, it is radiant. It's a flow in every possible direction, and it reaches and fills the whole universe instantly. That's the definition of a quantum wave. And thirdly, the quantum wave is a pattern of motion that repeats itself and recurs over and over again. If you draw a wave up and down, up and down, up and down, everyone knows that picture of the wave, and you cut it right at the peak of every wave, you will see that it's a pattern that repeats itself over and over. And that pattern is active. It's pulsating throughout the universe. Literally, every moment, it pulsates, which to me is what you talk about when you say that we are action. We are motion. We are not a thing. We are a motion. And a quantum wave, to me, describes all the qualities. It's vast. It's motion. It's instant. It's entanglement. As this information is, or information, which I call it, pulsates throughout
Angela,
the universe. Everybody experiences it.
Angela, would
yes,
you ask
Roger.
Other people on the phone whether they understand what the hell you're talking about? Or even care.
Does anyone understand at all or have an interest in what I'm talking about? I mean, it's a loaded
yes.
question, Roger.
What? Well, it's hard to answer because we sit here and we listen on mute.
Well,
and we have to rush to get to the button to say something. And yes, I mean, it's interesting because of the fact that it's both a wave and a particle. It's both, I mean...
So in volume two, then, everybody is interested, am I saying, you're interested in having a physics discussion of these matters.
But there's a quantum biology now. People are applying this to life. It's not separate from life.
I think you guys hang on a second. Can you guys hang on a sec? I agree with whoever said it. You have to stop every once in a while, Angela. Nobody can talk.
Take a breath, Angela, and pause.
You're all night listening.
Yeah,
now,
I'm sorry.
You don't let anybody get in so that they may disagree with you or even agree with you.
Okay, thank you. Go, Patrick.
Well, every time you talk about particle and a wave, I am absolutely locked into something propagating a wave or a particle. And you're talking about something that seems to be without propagation. And I don't know how the hell that can exist. How the hell can anything exist that's not propagating? And everything about physics, about quantum or waves and particles, is that there is a propagation of those.
No.
So I go with Roger. This is a physics discussion. Why are we doing this? I don't understand.
Is that what you want in the second
group? To me, that's an incorrect assumption. I hear you. I appreciate it. Because that's what the old science used to say, that something like water is caused to make a wave. But in the quantum world, there's no cause of a quantum wave or a particle. So if that were true, would that interest you?
Then if there is a quantum that is a synonym for eternal self, then who the hell is generating it?
You.
So there's propagation going on. You can't tell me there's propagation, not propagation going on.
No, it's synonymous. You are synonymous with the quantum wave
particle.
Anyway,
the big thing for me, Angela, is that there is, it, without explaining all of physics that are involved, this is I don't understand what we're talking about, and
right.
I don't know why we're talking about it.
Well, Roger's initial theory is data bumps into each other randomly, makes information. Information bumps into each other and makes energy. Energy bumps into each other and makes matter. There's no propagation, I believe, in his original paper on that.
But
and
from
that's
then on, I leave physics alone.
Is. Say that again, Roger?
I said, from then on, I leave physics alone.
Okay, but you begin with it.
But Angela, the point, I think, to me anyway, usually Roger's forays into physics are simply to make a, in my opinion anyway, an image, or to have a foundation for an image or a pattern or a process of life. Okay, now we understand that's going on, and then we say, how does that apply to you and what you can do in living your life? I think that's the difference between just going over the information or the theory or the findings of physics versus then applying it to you. If I understand, that's what I think he's reaching for in saying what he's interested in. And
yes,
correct me if
I'm
wrong, Roger. I shouldn't be saying what Roger is saying.
What I hear you saying is Roger's interested in the application of this, not the theory. Is that
what I'm saying is what I gain from Roger's discussions are, you know, like anything, for example, like a self-replicating particle, it violates time. Then it's like, okay, now that's maybe a fact in the universe, but how does that apply to my life? Well, you know, I'm stuck in a one-directional flow of time that I may not be limited to by the universe. So he brings it into my life and what I can do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your discussion was interesting to me in the sense that it was just generally interesting. What I think it reminded me of, though, was who was it? Was it Jim that put that thing on the eternal self thing a couple months ago about whatever reality actually looks like doesn't matter? What really helps us is we have by evolution, we have a certain limited view that benefits us more. I can't remember what that was called, but I could look it up. But it made it relatable to us.
Okay. Exactly. Well, that's what I go with the quantum world. For me, it's not physics. It's just the natural world, and it seems to validate what Roger teaches me in a real physical framework. And I don't listen to physics. Roger thinks I'm a physicist, and I'm not. What I feel is the feeling of it without the cause and effect, which I totally sympathize with Patrick. It's different than what the physicists say. So I'll drop it. I mean, I just thought it validated and opened. But if you know, that's cool. I just wanted Roger to enjoy the paper. I didn't mean to. I want to hear what you have, Roger. I mean, I agree. I'm here to hear you, not physics. So
well, all I'm getting
thank
at,
you for letting me talk about it.
Is you convert this to physics, and then talk physics, and nobody understands anything you're saying. Because that's not what they're interested in.
I see what you're saying, Roger. Right, I hear you. I'm with you, I agree. And I just felt it validated you. And I love you, and I love what you're teaching. I can forget the physics, okay? I just thought it would feel good to you to know they're saying these things. But that's okay. I know your work is way beyond what they're saying. So, okay. I drop it. So what are you thinking about writing? I'd like to hear what you're thinking and feeling about what you want to write.
I don't know. What does anybody want? In other words, if nobody tells me what I want, what they want or want me to write about that I can write about, I'll write what I want to write, and it'll be an abiding being in Alaska. It'll be like my life that I started reading once before. And I'll use that as a basis for hanging all these, a lot of things onto it.
Yeah, I would like to hear more about that in your life. I think that's very useful and very practical.
I'd like to hear a little more about how, you know, even just like, you know, you gave us a little of that in the recent Emergent Life book, some practices for developing an awareness more for direct perception, or the things that would allow people to experience some of the things you've experienced so they can go along with, you know, what you're saying and try it out.
I don't know what's going to open somebody else up or what's going to allow them to do.
No, and I'm not saying it's a guarantee, just, you know, you did a couple of things in the past. You said, well, this is what I did that worked for me. That's sufficient. That's fine.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's any valid for anybody else.
No, but you don't know until you try it and put it out there.
Okay. What are we talking about?
Well, let's see. So, I'll describe my experience of, you know, maybe some of the writings that I've, you know, read. And I think I'm missing the point to a certain extent, but to go on and read about, I don't know, like a story about what someone else experienced and, oh, you know, when you get there, you'll experience this and it'll be great, but don't tell me how to get there so I can experience any of it. I feel like I'm missing out on the opportunity that's been
pointed. Well, telling you how to get there isn't necessarily going to work either, because it may not be your way.
That's a good point, and I recognize that, especially recently.
It doesn't seem to sink in. How many times are they going to say that?
Well, so are you saying, talking in broad brush terms about experiences that someone might be able to have someday is going to get people there?
Not necessarily. But particulars are not necessarily going to work either. Like Angela's talking about the quantum world or physics doesn't get me anywhere.
Right. I guess, you know, so then there appears to be a gap between what you're describing and where people can follow. That's just my opinion.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's a little bit like that guy from Burke, I guess, was that his name, from the Cosmic Consciousness book that we talked about on day one of the gathering. I mean, if he talked about his experience with an illumination and, you know, being cloaked in an orange, fiery, this, that, and the other, and it felt this, and it felt great, and then he goes on and talks about his realizations after. Those are all great realizations, but if somebody wanted to say, yeah, I'd like to see what that's like, how does him talking about that?
And we never really got into the Cosmic Consciousness book. Everybody was bored to death.
Well, it needed, I guess, just
the same way with the other book that we did discuss. That meant something to the author, but it didn't mean squat to most other people.
Right. And if I'm being honest, then I think that's what the value of the conversations are with you, is that if I just read that, it might not mean anything to me, but in discussing it, where you see where we are or what our questions are, and you give us answers that we don't expect, it can help shift us into saying, that's how.
But
there's a value in that I see.
But I can't write that in a book, because I don't have you in the other end of the book participating.
That's a good point, yeah. Okay, I'm beginning to see, yeah, I see that. Well, maybe, yeah. Well, here's a question then. In the Emergent Life book, you wrote about an introduction to direct perception called Imagination. You know, do Imagination 15 minutes a day until it becomes a regular part of your life. And I understand you need to have a focus, like being an earthly eternal being, and then a query. And then, is there anything else more we could talk about that?
Everything I say is going to be for somebody else meaningless or contradictory.
All right.
So each person is different. I can't tell you what's going to happen.
No, agreed. And that's, yeah, and I'm not looking for a prediction of what's going to happen. I guess you're saying you don't know what's going to work. You just, but the conversation started with what would we like to hear more about. I'm telling you what I'd like to hear more about. If you don't want to write about it.
Yeah, but if you want to hear more about what's going to work that I can't write about.
Well, maybe I just then would like to say, I'd like to hear more about what you did in...
That's all I can tell you is what I did or what occurred.
That'll work.
It's the only thing I can tell you in that regard.
So is your book about the life of Jason in Alaska, is that going to talk more about, like, things you did at that period of time?
Is it going to talk more about what?
Things you did, exercises you did, or what you did in your hours of, you know, imagination at night and things like that. That would be of interest to me. I'd be interested in hearing or reading more about that.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to work for you.
You just asked me what I would like to read more about, and that's all I'm telling you.
Yeah, but when you taught them how to do readings, all you did was tell them, this is what I did.
I didn't teach anybody how to do readings.
When you were explaining how you did readings, that's how they figured out how to do readings.
That's right.
Yep.
So that's what he's talking about.
That's all I can do.
That's fine. Hey, if you want to write about something, I'd like to hear more about that. End of statement. I'm done. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'd like to hear more about. It's immensely valuable to me.
But for you to then have to take it and decide what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Leave that up to me.
So all I can say is what I did back in the 60s.
Right. And you know, and Misty's right. I don't know how the conversation started because I wasn't in Kona at the time. But, you know, for me, that first reading I ever did for Karen came from a conversation where Denise told me something you guys had talked about on a Monday night on how to use regressions, and then from regressions step into readings. And I wasn't there for firsthand experience. I only got Denise's secondhand notes. But I use that as a starter. Hey, a starter. And it worked.
But what you do is because you did it. Because you used it as a starter.
Yes.
That's all I've said here along the way is that you have to decide to do it. And it'll be different for every person. So all I can write about, it's not like case histories of certain illnesses or problems or difficulties.
Okay. Well, I'm just engaging in this vigorously because I think the pattern of our conversation is you ask us a question, we tell you what we want, you reject it, and then I tell you what I want, and then we argue about it, and maybe later it'll find its way into a book. So I'm all for it.
Well, okay, you got to want it in the form of, I can only tell you what I did.
Love it, Roger. Thank you so much.
That's the only thing I can tell you.
That is not, that is a genuine thank you. I am totally interested in that.
Well, so when I write the life of Jason,
okay,
then that explains what I did and what happened in my life as a result of that.
I'd be fine with that. Thank you.
Is that enough for everybody else?
Yes. sounds exciting.
Anybody else? I'd like to hear what anybody else thinks. Susan, Sharon, Karen, Pat, Simone.
Jenny.
Sounds like nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to say anything tonight.
Well, personally, I want the discretionary, but I know that's minor compared to everything else you have to give.
What?
Hey, there you go. Thanks, Sharon. Thank you.
What's minor?
I said what I want is discretionary, but I think that's minor compared to the rest of the stuff you have to give
yes,
to us.
Yes, that's right.
That's something that benefits me in terms of being able to ask better questions. And
yes,
if,
that's what it was intended
yeah.
to do.
Oh, that, just to build on what Sharon just said then, question, are there any, like up to letter, you know, N or O or P that, you know, has been what you thought, like, edited to the point that it would be releasable?
Is it what?
Have you gotten the descriptionary rewritten to the point that some of it, some of the pages are releasable?
I haven't rewritten anything.
Oh, okay, I thought it was. Okay. How about Simone? What do you like? What would you like to read or hear more of, or any of?
What I said earlier already was about dreams, and that's also a difficult part. While rearranging my thing, I brought out the little booklet again. I have and.
Well, yeah, but I can do that in this book the way it's written now. Jason has a dream class, and so we can actually go through a dream class one night in Jason.
Yay!
And so whether that works for everybody or not, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I did like the Mondays that when we put dreams into the Dropbox, and yeah.
But it's
so
still,
that
boiled,
was
it's still
beneficial
down,
to me.
Down
yeah.
to the fact that most people can't really do dreams because they can't make those associations.
Mm.
The same way as they can't make the associations from wave, particle, and quantum mechanics to their life today.
Yeah. And what I also brought it up before, I mean, I do like the big descriptionary I have. I really like that. And
but you haven't
and
seen,
the rewrite
you haven't
of
seen
that.
The volumes of stuff I have
yeah.
on that.
Well, we
no, I
to.
Haven't. But I know
that's
that it
point.
Is more than one book. Yeah.
That's the whole point. We'd love to see it. And if there's any way that we can help you,
it needs to be rewritten.
Get it. Well, then that's what what needs to be done. I mean, I think it's something that's of great benefit to people to get.
I think there's other things
of,
that are a benefit.
Well, yes, I'm sure
well,
you do.
Well, I guess I'm right back to where I started from. I'm going to write what I want the hell to write.
Well, we already
well,
knew that was the end of this discussion.
Yeah.
The rain stopped, you could say something and I could actually even hear. Or slow down anyway.
So, would you need help for typing? That Misty doesn't have to do everything?
That's Misty's. I gotta write it.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are right now. I mean, I don't have the energy to write.
Okay.
So, Roger, do
can
you find that you do better? Go ahead, Simone.
That was me.
Could you read it into a recorder? Can you talk at all?
No.
And have it recorded, and later we can transcribe?
No.
I did that one time, 1 year.
Yes?
It didn't work.
Okay.
It takes too long to train the program, and especially with different punctuation. It doesn't know what to do with my punctuation.
All right,
but
yeah.
Misty can do it. It's only to record the ideas and the words, and then Misty knows how to translate it into correct punctuation. At least the information will be recorded.
Well, I have booklets. I have books and books and books of notes on that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know.
You know, I also think, you know, I'm going to offer this to folks who haven't thought about it. I think that the writing process, it helps Roger focus more, but also when he gets to look back at what he said, sometimes I think that he'll go back and edit it till it says, I don't think it's just like a one-off first perfect, you know, pitch perfect, you know, stream of consciousness. I think tell me if I'm wrong, Roger, but I think you go through these things a lot before you get to, say, the closest approximation to what you feel is, you know, what you want to say or what you feel is accurate.
Well, we'll just go along as we are.
You feel that's the best way to do it?
I don't know. For me, it is.
Well, then maybe that's what we should have as the conversation. That, you know, the rest of it, I
say you don't really want to put it in your life.
Okay. I say we don't really know.
I know you say you don't
know
what to do. I say you don't know. You don't really want to do it. You don't really want to change. You want the image you have been told is what's going on. You want that image to be true. And you want it to work for you. You want religion's view to fit
well. On the other thing too, it was interesting you shared with me I don't know, a couple months ago. I'm just going to say what I think I heard you say was, you know, I started into all this stuff with all my traditional religious beliefs and try to overcome them. When you started into this stuff, you didn't do that. You didn't have any of that to try and overcome. You were maybe just looking straight at things and saying, okay, what's going on?
Do you really want the image of the world turning on its axis? Or do you really want the image of the sun going around the earth?
Well, I didn't understand the first one.
Well, the earth...
Can you repeat that again, please?
I said, do you want the image of the sun of the earth turning on its axis? Or is that satisfactory, or would you rather have the image of the sun going around the earth?
Axis, A-X-I-S.
Yeah. Axis, okay. I think I would like to have the first one.
You think you would like it?
Yeah.
But you don't really know so.
Yeah.
I let the image come. Yeah.
You think you would like it, but you really don't. What you really like is the sun coming up and going down, going around the earth.
That active sound accessing.
It's been highly romanticized in poetry, and yeah, I understand that. Right. It's an emotional, emotionally anchored.
You've got too much already invested in the sun going around the earth. And it continues every day.
And what is what you are saying? We are accessing the sun?
No.
No, what? Can you repeat it again, Andrew?
Can you imagine the Earth in space?
I said, which do you want? Which do you prefer? Which?
Earth in space.
What?
And it's going in a circle, right? It's spinning?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what
and
I learned.
And the center point, the line that goes kind of, if you could imagine a line going through the center of the Earth that it spins around and it doesn't, you know, move from that line, that's the axis. Axis is, it's the center point that the sphere turns on. So the sun's not going up and down. The Earth is spinning and the sun's in place, and it just looks like to us the Earth or the sun's going up and down.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
We know what, nobody else wants to comment on that. Patrick, which do you prefer?
Huh. He had to leave the room for a sec.
All right, Karen, which do you prefer?
Ask the question again.
Would you prefer the image of the Earth spinning on its axis, or the sun coming up and going around the Earth? So it comes up
Earth,
in
the Earth spinning on its axis.
You prefer that?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so, but you don't really think. You're not really certain.
What do you prefer?
I prefer that the sun comes up and goes around the Earth.
How come? Why?
Apollo in his chariot.
Yeah?
Because it's a lot more personal.
It's personal.
You make a good point, Roger. I agree. Somehow it's more personal. Somehow that other one seems devoid of intimacy.
I agree.
Okay.
It's an interesting point, man.
It is.
So I can think in terms of the sun coming up and going around the Earth because it's more personal without that interfering with my life.
So am I making an appropriate association if I say that you're suggesting that we prefer the image of God and spirituality because it's more intimate or personal than
yes,
what you've presented in Emergent Life?
Yes, of course.
You know, I it's interesting, right? Because
I'd be willing to bet that there's not anybody here that really, really, really wants life without God.
Yeah, data, information, mind bumping together, and a universe that is random. I've talked to you before about it. I felt like in that image that I put together, you presented the, you know, parts, but the way I put it together, I felt like I lost something that used to be very personal, which was that life was responding to me like a higher consciousness in relationship with me.
Among other things.
I took that out. And today I was funny because I was thinking about that and I thought, can I imagine a universe that is so random that it is completely intimate with me and intimately involved with personality and everything if that's the way I random it?
Mm-hmm.
Still random. But it doesn't have to be devoid of intimacy.
Right.
But then that means that each of us has to put that intimacy into the relationship with the universe. And if the universe reacts that, I think, it'd be like, wow, son of a gun, it's really...
Can you put any intimacy into the fact that if the Earth spins on its axis and the sun stays still, can you put any intimacy into that?
That's interesting. I have a harder time. I think I can, but I got to work on it.
You got to work your ass off to do it.
Yeah. The longer you speak about, the more I think that's a big separation.
So you really want the sun to come up and the sun to go down?
Yeah.
As it goes
probably.
Around the Earth.
No.
And then sometimes I'll say, boy, I really wish I knew what was going on in the world. What's really going on? Maybe I want to live both.
How do you know that NASA told you the truth?
Oh, I don't know that NASA told me the truth, to be honest. I could certainly go there. I do know from personal experience, yeah, you can see the Earth, you know, in orbit around the sun, but you can also see the entire universe in orbit around the Earth. Depends on how you perspective that.
That's right. And all I've asked you is which you would you prefer.
Mm-hmm. So, Roger, do you think in describing how the universe works, and then describing how it works for you, and what'd you say then, how everything always works as you desire, do you feel like that description somehow lost the emotional connection that people seem to crave?
I think that that's the only thing that people want is an emotional connection.
I agree. That seems to be the fuel for life right now. Right or wrong, that seems to be what people are fueling themselves on.
It's just like right now the feds are refusing to allow people to swim with the dolphins.
Yep.
No matter the reason, people wanted that intimate connection. Now the feds have refused it, taking it away.
Right. Right.
Who is forbidding that?
Federal government, United States federal government.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
You can't swim.
Glad that I did it before.
No more swimming with the dolphins.
Yeah, and then I hear they're going after tourists who did it a long time ago.
Well, they don't come over to me.
Oh, Switzerland's neutral. You don't have to worry.
We are not. We pretend to be. As a government.
What happens when you're out there swimming and a dolphin comes up? I mean, that's kind of crazy.
You're guilty.
I know. I was out there swimming one time and there was a dolphin. Yikes.
Well, anyway, I know you and Pat for sure have had discussions about whether there's emotion in this stuff or not, or if it's just mental activity.
You know, like the thing that Misty read, physics takes all the emotion out of it, all the feeling out of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to me,
right? Yeah,
you'll never move anybody off of their addiction to intimacy with God or spirituality or whatever they think. It's like you got to replace it with something that's much more tasty. Assume that the thing about, you know, the relationship with God is all made up just because it's, you know, for lack of anything better.
So if it is made up, so what? As long as you feel good about what that is, that's okay. As long as you feel good about the sun going around the Earth, that's okay too.
Well, here's the thing. As long as, yes, that's very conditional. As long as people feel good about that, I just think a lot of people don't feel like their life is working. So, looking for something tastier.
Well, that was
interesting, you know, how you personified a lot. The past life readings, for anybody who's been around and had those, I mean, those seemed to be, you know, engaging and sticky, and people were moved by those. To what extent they did anything with it, I can't say, but...
But that's personal and intimate.
There you go, right.
Yes, that gives you a past that you didn't realize before.
Well, it gives you a whole sense of yourself involved in life. What do you think, Karen?
About the past lives?
Oh, I don't know. Any of those we're talking about. You can nothing if you want. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Y'all are so mute.
Yeah, well, I agree. The stuff that actually engages people and it's an intimate, personal thing, something to do with their lives, gets people listening and participating.
If we take whatever happens and reduce it down to particles and waves, it takes all of the personal intimacy out of it.
Well, I don't know, sometimes the particle and wave discussions are absolutely fascinating too. Like I wouldn't want to dismiss that stuff either. I think there's room for all of it.
I think that where we developed this branch of discussion was just that, you know, Rogers says he doesn't think anybody wants to put this in their life, and that's why we're not experiencing it or getting it or whatever. So I'm asking, is it because it doesn't have the same emotional juice, and why not? You know, reading.
Well, that could be when we get really, into stuff that it takes a lot of commitment to even understand what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Then people, yeah. I mean,
it takes a lot
really
of commitment to understand that paper.
What's that?
It takes a lot of stuff to commitment and et cetera to begin to understand that paper.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Angela was making some really interesting points, but I also think that she kind of just passed it on to you as, isn't this interesting? I don't think she meant for it to be a discussion on our Monday
night
call.
Yes, she did. She meant for it to be
really?
A discussion.
Oh.
No, I didn't. Come on.
That's what Miss M said you said in your transmittal letter.
Oh. Well, I thought if people wanted to read it, we could put it on Dropbox. But
no.
I didn't really think it was going to dominate Monday.
Why not?
It's not a bad one.
It's an issue. It's an issue that needs to be discussed. How deeply do you go into these things? Do people really want to know what's happening, or do they want what's happening to be as they feel it's happening?
Now, see, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, you can maybe all things are understandable or knowable, but I guess a lot of people are just going to stop short on how they can live.
The same way with dreams. How do you deal with it? The nuts and bolts of it. And people only really want to know how they respond to how they feel a dream means or what its significance is.
Well, Roger, now part of that, I gotta say, I think part of that is people resort to feelings because they don't have a strong awareness of anything else. If they had something else, it might not be so enamored with feelings.
Maybe that's true, but maybe that's not true. Maybe feelings is what they want. I think it is.
In the absence of anything more?
I think that the other is not satisfying or fulfilling enough.
Well, now, I don't agree. I think most people listen to dreams, and in their mind, they're blind. They don't have any sense of what that is. And so they resort to feelings, which they do have an experience of. But if they had, like, an image and they were making connections and they saw this bigger picture, they might say, oh, wow.
I don't agree with that.
Well, we don't have to agree. Oh. I just wanted you to know I don't agree.
Okay.
Why don't you agree?
Because I don't think that wow really comes along. It gets too
mechanical.
Are you
saying you never experienced that wow? That's why you got so into dreams?
Well, no. I can experience that my way.
Yep.
But I don't think the mechanics of it allows anybody else. Come on, there's a hell of a lot of people listening in on here. Say something. God damn it. Is Patrick back? Sharon, you say something.
What would you like for me to say? I'm interested in all of it. I'm not big on the dream stuff, but I never have been because I don't remember my dreams.
Just only in terms of... Do you want a life of feeling, or do you want a life of truth?
Well, so far I'm batting zero, so I guess I'll take both.
I don't know.
Why do you say you're batting zero, Sharon? What does that mean?
Feelings, you know, I've had to learn that my feelings are oftentimes they control me and they distract me from seeing what I'm really experiencing.
Okay.
No.
Hogwash.
Okay. Well, I believe
your answer to that is you have a dog. Why do you have a dog? Because of the feelings you have between you and the dog when the dog jumps up and wags its tail. Those feelings are important. Life without that would be pretty poor.
Yeah, I experienced what that was like, and that's why I got her.
That's right.
Yeah, and Rico's awesome.
Yeah. It's a good dog.
There's nothing like the feeling of a wet tennis ball in your face first thing in the morning. I have personal experience with that one.
She loves you. I mean, truth is how you... when you say truth, that's loaded.
I don't like that word.
Yeah.
I like your word promise, Roger. I'd like to have you write more about promise.
I have lots of stuff written about promise. I have
hundreds
of pages that Misty has typed.
Where?
Sitting back here.
Put it in the book.
Well, we can do that.
It's authority. Yeah, people like that word. They light up when you talk about promise.
That's right.
And see, I think it works better than truth. Truth is a thing, but promise is a verb. It's active.
It's intimate, too.
Very intimate.
And the promise is personal, yeah, and the truth is not personal.
Good for you, Simone.
So I have
what do you say?
I said good for you.
Okay, well. A truth is something from very outside that I have to take on as a truth.
It's not very personal.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Now I'm beginning to understand why years ago, Roger, you would say, I couldn't talk to people in mechanics of this stuff and engage them. Even if it's totally interesting, it's not personally done grab.
Well, I'm fading here. So
okay.
Pretty soon we're going to have to quit.
Are you getting tired?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fading.
Okay.
I didn't get up till noon, but I'm getting tired. I sleep, but I don't sleep well.
No.
Could we just make a few, could you talk a little bit about promise? Or could we ask questions about promise that you could answer in short sentences?
You can ask the questions and I'll do what I can do.
Okay.
How did you come to choose that word promise? How did that come up in your parlance, your description?
Because I didn't like the word truth.
Okay.
Promise has is much more intimate. Truth is objective. Promise is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And promise is a broader word.
Hey, I got a question then. Do you think that this whole religion, traditional religion, with the commandments and the judgments and everything is more personal or less personal than promise?
Far less personal.
Okay. Did you have questions, Angela? I didn't mean to take them all.
No, I like your questions. I mean, I have one. I would start with asking, Roger, can you say, as I promise, the universe promises me? Is that a statement?
That's true as long as I act on my promises.
Ah. No. Because the universe only reacts.
So if I act on my promises then the universe promises me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
But if you don't act on your promises, if it's just a bunch of crappy words, don't look for it to happen.
Okay.
So this, would you say, goes back to people don't, well, whether they want to or not, they're not putting the things that we've talked about into their lives, so they're not seeing anything.
Right.
Is promise the miracle of life, the emergent miracle of life, would you say? Could you say? Would you say?
You could say that.
Ah.
Would you prefer that? Rather than...
I like it. I just like... Rather than?
Rather than a truth of life, would you rather have promise of life?
Absolutely.
Well. Well, what? Even in
Thank
a quantum
you.
World?
Absolutely. That, to me, that is, I mean, you won't like it, but promise is the emergent miracle, which for me is quantum. I'm sorry. I experience everything as a quantum.
Way. So, Andrew, we started tonight talking about the feelings that people have when they say words. Can you give us a clue as to what quantum, how you relate to that, or what the feeling of quantum is to you? Because I have to admit, I'm feeling very scientifically and clinical about it.
Oh, everything that Roger said about entanglement, during the gathering?
Well, everything I always said, whenever I talk about the quantum world, don't think of quantum mechanics or quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because everything that it was originally expressed in that regard, I'm in a disagreement with.
Right. Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't agree with everything.
The quantum world only means, like Andrew said, the small, tiny world of particles and waves, which to me are different. Particles and waves that then constitute the beginning of the of everything.
But as below, so above, isn't it?
Well, regardless, to me does.
Wait, I want to hear what Roger says.
So that means
you don't agree, Roger?
Yes, as below, so above.
Okay.
But most everybody else has above, so below. And I don't
agree. Right, but as below, so above. And I'm not saying, I mean, I'm not a quantum physicist. So for me, to answer you,
so everything in the quantum world that happens in the quantum world happens in the real world.
Yes. Yes, that's what they're discovering. Thank goodness. Including entanglement. And, you know, people I work with feel energy. So most of them, because I'm in a place where people feel energy. And so we've changed the word entanglement to the word, we've changed the A to an I, and we call it entanglement. Because if I change, if I really change, then other people can and may feel it. And you can call that a feeling, even though it's not like sadness, happiness, anger, or exhaustion. It's more like a tingle. And some people don't even tingle. They just somehow, an entanglement, get it. And for instance, when I yawn, sometimes other people yawn. Yawning is an example of my body changing when I change my information of my that's related to my blood. In the descriptionary sort of way. So I have that experience all the time. When I work with people, they change something and they yawn. One lady yawned for 7 minutes after she had a major realization about her family and leaving her loner body, how she was addicted to it. And then all of a sudden she felt, I'm not going to do that anymore. And she yawned for 7 minutes. Literally, I timed it. So that replaces, it becomes much more meaningful than feeling happy, sad, angry. Those things become irrelevant. It's a little bit like a feeling, but it isn't a feeling. They change. The change becomes their strength. That's my card in the I Ching. So does that answer? I'm talking too much again. Does that answer your question?
No, I wanted to know how you felt. How does it feel to you? What does it sense to you?
I told you. It's like a...
I know. Sorry, I totally missed it. You're right. In all the words, I missed the... Sorry about that.
It's a ting... If you had to call it something, you could call it a tingling, but it isn't always a tingling. It's just a... It's like... Wow, I feel different. I'm different. I am different. I've changed, really changed. And it's not a feeling, but for me, it's much greater, much greater. Mm. The strength in that is a different kind of strength. I can't push people around, but they can't touch me either because I feel my strength in my change, my ability to change. Even though Roger doesn't believe it. So the entanglement is one of those things that I personally experience often. And I don't experience it, I direct it. I am directing myself in change, and other people will sometimes experience it, and vice versa. They begin to be aware of it, how they direct their perception, and when they do, other people may get it. Like the yawn. The yawn is contagious because it's entanglement. Yawns are entanglement, literally. And so, does that tell you a little bit?
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so is that it? Does anybody else want to add anything?
No, not me.
So I have a question for Roger. Does promise work with memory, through memory?
Yes, but don't take that
Hello?
Answer. I don't know what you're going to do with that answer.
Well, I don't know either.
Good.
But I just had a
do anything
can
that
you do
want.
Something with it?
But
somebody's making a lot of noise. I cannot hear. Thank you. Somebody, okay.
Well, if you wouldn't be in Thailand, you could hear better. Why, may I?
Now we're all hearing the noise.
So promise works.
I wasn't hearing the noise.
What missed?
I was.
What was the noise?
Somebody moving around a lot. Keep
yeah,
going.
Now it's better. Thank you.
Okay.
So promise works through memory. Does that mean as I promise, then
we can
I'm
say
working?
That everything works through memory.
Everything works through memory.
There's nothing you can do
everything.
Without memory, because without memory, you do nothing.
Can you explain that, Misty?
I can explain it by saying, how do you do anything if you don't remember anything? You would be stuck in a stupor because you wouldn't know or be able to speak or function because you have nothing to work off of.
That's excellent, Misty. Thank you. But it's an instant memory, right? It's bigger than the brain memory.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I remember the universe.
Yes.
Bingo.
The brain is memories. You asked me about memory.
Right.
Memory.
Ah, that's really nice. That's really simple and well put. The brain works on memories, but we work on memory, the universal access, the accessing of the universe, something like that. The memory of the universe. Beautiful. Thank you.
Is that it for everybody?
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I got to hang up. I gotta take a break from all this high energy conversation. Sorry.
Yeah, no. It's just too stimulating, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is late at night.
Thanks to everybody who stayed on mute and gave the rest of us a chance to take a swing at it.
Good night for now.